Hey everybody, I am here today with Tim Harrington. He's the founder and president of Team Resources, and it's a firm that provides strategic planning, training, and consulting to financial institutions and also our wonderful credit union industry. He's going to be speaking at our board and supervisory committee conference on best practices for today's credit union board. So Tim, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Anthony, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Sure. Now, you've devoted your career to a certain extent in helping credit unions and boards improve. If you're an attendee worried about best practices, at the end of the day, why does it matter? What makes it so important?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Anthony. It's a great question because a lot of boards are resistant to change. Why do we need to improve? We're doing a good job. This comment is going to anger every board member out there for just a second until they hear why I say it, but I'm going to say it. It has to be said. Most management teams function under a very modern model. They're up with the digital age. Most boards of directors function under a model that was really designed in the 1870s, and I mean that, not the 1970s, not just 50 years ago, but the 1870s, 150 years ago. They've added some things along the way, but they really aren't that different. And where it comes from, most boards function using Robert's Rules of Order as a governance method. And it really isn't a governance method, never was meant for one, but people use it as that, and they've attached some committees to it. And Robert's Rules of Order, Anthony, was written in February of 1876, 4 months before Custer's Last Stand. And
wow.
Even though people have modernized it, it still isn't up to date with modern digital technology. And so they're using a method that's a slow, deliberative method in a really rapidly changing world. So why does this matter? And it comes down to relevance, and it's relevance to two things. It's relevance to the marketplace, because the credit union has to be relevant to the marketplace, and often the credit union can't go a lot faster than the board will let it. And the other is relevant to the management team. And the management team needs guidance, needs oversight, needs governance by a group who understands the needs and pressures of today and can make good decisions rapidly so management can move along. And that they understand where operations begins, because that's where the CEO gets to function with relative freedom, and where governance ends. And that's where the board stops getting involved in stuff, or they cover it by policies, by values, by vision, by plan, et cetera. These are the issues. And so if a board doesn't really keep up with the marketplace, they can cause the credit union to fall behind. One more element. In many organizations where there's a really effective board of directors, the board is actually leading the charge to greater momentum, leading the charge to more aggressive lending, to serving more members, to really spreading the credit union message farther and wider. So a really good, effective board can help it, a credit union move forward, and an unchanging board can slow the organization down.
I love our conferences when people can take a tidbit, a question, a thought back for a deeper discussion at their credit union. What's something that people can take back from their presentation, do you think, a question for their fellow board members?
One that comes right to mind is something I talk about in this class is purpose. And I'm reading an article right now about the ethical impact, how important it is in banking today. And so purpose is about what you do and why you do it. Why you're a credit union, why you've chosen this charter, why you even exist in the financial marketplace. And it's typically an ethical question, and purpose is how you engage emotionally to a consumer. Some of the most successful companies in America are purpose-based companies because they engage to the consumer. The consumer feels something about the company they're working with. Starbucks is a great example. Trader Joe's is a great example. You'd be surprised who these companies are. They're also Caterpillar and Harley Davidson and SC Johnson and companies. There's a bunch of them that are purpose-based companies. And so one of the questions that come back is, do we really understand our purpose? Do we know why we exist? And so the board is the holder of the flame of purpose. Management, the CEO and his or her team, they can do all the operation stuff and do a wonderful job. But why they're doing it, that can only be held by a board that has come up with a why, that understands it, that conveys it, and really that holds management accountable to it. So a good question to go back is, Do we know why we exist? By the way, Anthony, if you know why, and it's a compelling purpose, it attracts new members, it attracts employees and keeps employees from burning out, it attracts new directors and supervisory committee members. People who care about your purpose will want to be part of a purpose-based organization. So when you have a purpose, you've got to put it in your 30-second elevator speech. Here's why we exist. You want to be part of this. And people who are interested will be attracted to it. Some will be actually repelled by it, and that's okay. Not everybody loves Starbucks, but it's an amazing company because it attracts people by its purpose, not by its coffee necessarily. So they can go back and say, what's our purpose? How have we conveyed this? Do we have it in a 30-second elevator speech so we can give it to people and inspire them to want to be part of this organization?
Hey, is there a story, a statistic, or a story that you think is compelling for this audience that maybe surprises them, something that they could learn from?
I'll come up with two of them here. One's the negative side and one's the positive side. The negative side is I've worked with some boards of directors where they've struggled. They know they're dysfunctional. They struggled. They've started to improve. They've added some modern governance techniques. And then for some reason, sometimes it's a change in the membership of the board of directors. Sometimes they just decide they like their old methods better, and they fall back into their old habits. And the result of that has been two things. One is, in several cases, it's actually led to the departure of a CEO. A CEO had just said, you know, I just can't deal with this anymore. And the other part is it's led to stagnation, where the organization stagnates. It's not really moving forward anymore because they have a hard time attracting and keeping a good CEO, a good entrepreneurial CEO. You see, in this day and age, CEOs have to be entrepreneurial, and people who are by nature entrepreneurial won't put up with a board who gets involved in the details. So the two end up being exclusive, and you lose or don't attract the really competent CEOs who can push the organization forward. And let's go to the other side of it. Let's go to purpose. I mentioned that a while ago. And a couple of credit unions come to mind who have defined their purpose. We have a purpose-based planning process that we bring them through. And often your purpose exists. All you have to do is dust it off and uncover it and reword it. When they found their purpose, the level of inspiration has been felt in the room. People get goosebumps. They get choked up. They break down in tears because they said, wow, this really matters to us. And then they bring it back to the organization and begin to teach it throughout the organization. So one of my clients in Texas went through this process about 3 years ago. They had been suffering really high turnover in their staff, 70% some years, 40% was a good year. Last year I went to their planning process, and they were down to 10% turnover. And I go, wait, how does that happen? This is a really tight economy. And they said, Tim, it's purpose. Our employees love our purpose. They want to stay here. They've chosen to stay here because they care about the why of the organization. So the why can be created anywhere, but it has to be held by the board, and it will permeate the organization. So the downside is you don't do it right, you can chase away competent people. You do it right, and you can inspire people who want to be part of your organization.
Any final thoughts for the people who are going to be seeing you at this conference?
Being a board member is an honor, but it's not honorary. It's an important job, and even though most people don't get paid for it, though some state charters do, if you are part of an organization that's doing something that matters, that really is distinctively different and beneficial, that people can really understand, there's a great feeling of, I'm doing something worthwhile. So when you're on a board, you want to do something worthwhile. Make sure a new book I'm writing is called Living a Life That Matters. Make sure you're living a life that matters right there at your own credit union in being involved in a progressive, open, pushing the envelope, purpose-based board of directors. It's a great place to be. Makes the position a lot of fun.
Everybody, Tim Harrington of Team Resources and the Board of Directors and Supervisory Committee Conference for NAFCI will be April 27th to the 30th in San Francisco, California. So thank you, Tim, and I can't wait to see you out there.
Anthony, thank you very much. I look forward to it.